Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Hello, Indiana. Good morning to you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Do you believe in these truths today? Do you have an assurance in those things? If not, you need to be calling upon the Lord this day. I have a special guest with me to share with you an important matter presenting itself before the state of Indiana. This is a call to action to get involved in this matter in July. This is an urgent plea to get involved in the legislative process immediately. We need pastors, congregations, and people of all walks of life to hear this urgent discussion and plea this morning. On the heels of the recent U.S. Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, Indiana has the opportunity to be a sanctuary state for the preborn. Make your voice known. Be a defender of the defenseless. With me today is Indiana State Representative John Jacob of District 93, which is on the south side of Indianapolis. He and I share a like passion to abolish abortion, to ban the murder of the preborn, the unborn baby in the womb. This genocide and this atrocity must be stopped. It must come to an end in Indiana and across America. Representative Jacob is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, and he has had a deep yearning to end abortion even before he became a representative in 2020. He has lobbied the State House to take action against abortion for years. Representative Jacob, welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church radio program. It is a pleasure having you join us today. Please give our listening audience a short bio of yourself, what bills you have voted on recently, your constitutional conservative stance, and what proposed bill in the General Assembly the citizens of Indiana should be tracking at this very moment.
Thank you, Pastor Greg, for having me on. So, again, my name is State Representative. I'm State Representative John Jacob. I am a born-again Christian. I am a father. My wife and I have 6 grown children. We have 5 grandchildren that we love dearly.
Amen.
And we have been involved in the not only in street preaching and preaching the gospel here in Indianapolis and other places, but we have also been involved specifically on the issue of abolition, not only in the state of Indiana, but also nationwide. And so we, as you said, I've been lobbying in the State House. I have actually been calling, in addition to that, not only talking to legislators individually, but actually calling them to repentance. Because in Indiana, we have actually been regulating abortion. The Republican Party has been regulating abortion, not banning it.
Yes. Yes. Wow. So what are you seeing out of the GOP on this? What kind, you're saying they're regulating, so they're not on board with you and Kurt Nisley to ban abortion?
That's correct. So State Representative Kurt Nisley up from Milford, Indiana, in northern Indiana, he had authored a bill called Protection at Conception. And that bill would actually abolish abortion. That bill was authored in 2017. And that was the bill that I was lobbying to ask legislators to please give it a hearing, to give it a vote. And the Republican-dominated GOP, keep in mind that we have a supermajority in the state of Indiana. We have control of the House, we have control of the Senate, we have control of the governorship. In other words, the Republicans control all 3 of those. But yet, they killed the bill to abolish abortion in Indiana in committee every single year, which is what motivated me to run for office, because I was getting sick and tired of do-nothing politicians who say they're pro-life, but yet they were doing nothing. So when I was elected in 2020, I kept my campaign promise, and I co-authored that bill with Representative Nisley. That bill is now known as the Life Bill. Representative Nisley changed the name to the Life Bill, and we'll speak to that also, the Protection at Conception versus the Life Bill, because there's some things that the establishment swamp is going to use that against us, and they're going to leverage and confuse people on the issue of Protection at Conception versus the Life Bill, and I'll explain that a little bit later.
So what is the number of that Life Bill?
Well, the current one in this past session, in the 2022 session, is HB 1282. It is the Life Bill. It's a Jacob Nisley Life Bill, and that bill, again, it would have called for the immediate abolition of abortion, it would have defied Roe, and in addition, it would have criminalized abortion. Now, in talking to Representative Nisley, we've talked about the issue that obviously Roe has been since overturned, and so we originally were asking people to, when they call into their legislator, to ask them to support Representative Nisley and Jacob's Life Bill, HB 1282. However, the issue about Roe was coming up, and we what I brought up with Representative Nisley and what he responded back to me was that although Roe has been overturned, it doesn't mean that Roe goes away. Roe is still a matter of history. So in other words, it would not hurt to codify Roe into law that we need to defy Roe. So in other words, if at some later point they somehow or another revisit Roe again,
okay,
that we want to make sure that we say, no, we need to defy Roe. And the bottom line is because it's the issue of what maybe some of your listeners may or may not know about, and that I'm sure you're very familiar with, is the issue of judicial supremacy. You know, we have three branches of government in the United States, mm-hmm. and obviously the executive, the legislative, the judicial, and, you know, courts don't make law. You know,
right.
we should have never waited for Roe to be overturned. We have the authority under the U.S. Constitution, specifically under the 10th Amendment, everything that wasn't embodied in the U.S. Constitution under the 10th Amendment then is deferred to the states. So we had the right to be able to end abortion prior to Roe being overturned.
Right, right. Because it's a criminal matter that states are supposed to be legislating and not the Supreme Court.
Right.
And so, but we've gone 50 years, 60 plus million children aborted, and we've seen the circumstances and the results of what has transpired in these 50 years and where we're at in our country. What kind of opposition are you seeing from the Democratic side of the?
Well, the Democratic side, obviously, they hold a very small minority. There's 70, I believe it's 71 Republicans, 100 representatives in the House, 71 are Republicans, 29 are Democrats. And in the Senate, the breakdown approximately is about the same. I believe it's 30, there's only 50 senators. I think it's 38 to 12, possibly. So it's a little bit stronger of Republicans in the Senate. Now, again, the Republicans have been opposed to the bill to abolish abortion, and they've used the excuse of, well, we have to wait for Roe to be overturned. Now, the Democrats, obviously, their stance, their platform is the, quote, pro-choice, pro-abort side. Now, they realize they have the minority. I expect a full slew of amendments coming from the Democrats that are going to probably try to actually, since we're opening up the issue of abortion, to actually probably try to expand abortion access. Now, my understanding is one of the Democratic leaders here from Indiana actually went to Washington to actually meet with Vice President Kamala Harris about this specific issue.
How to argue it in the legislature?
Well, specifically, I think on what the White House could do to put pressure on Indiana to make sure that, quote, abortion access stays in place.
Corporate pressure, I'm assuming.
Oh, very much corporate pressure. I mean, obviously, you know, the vast majority of corporate America is pro-abortion. There's very, very few large corporations that are against abortion.
Right.
So, you know, it has to loom. I know that it looms in the back of the mind of the Republicans on the specifically about the economic impact of abortion. Chamber of Commerce, big business impacts on what type of legislation that you get. So they know that if they dial down abortion, if they regulate it tighter, or if they do an all-out ban, they know very well that how tight they make that bill is going to have a proportional effect on corporate America to the point that we may end up having corporations leave Indiana. Now, obviously, from my standpoint, that's not an issue. We need to just do what's right. But that's really kind of, frankly, it's sickening that they're thinking in those terms. If you ask them that, I'm sure that they will not say that they're going to, you know, let that impact their decision on what kind of legislation is going to come out of abortion. But it's pretty obvious whenever you listen to the state of the state when it comes to the governor, mm-hmm. what's the first thing you hear about? The economy. Over and over, the economy, the
right.
economy, the economy.
Right, right. Well, sort of like when Pence was governor and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 2015 and when the Republicans passed that and the governor signed it, Pence signed it, and then the storm of opposition, the noise in the media, and all the corporate giants in Indiana just putting pressure on them, and they watered down that bill. So I'm sure that that kind of attack is going to take place again. Right. How do they bury these bills? Like, how did your HB 1282 get buried back in the winter?
That's a good question, Greg. So let me just kind of give you a brief overview of the legislative process. Each legislator has the ability to be able to file bills. So we author bills, and we have to do that back in December, and then the legislative session begins in January. Now, all those bills are assigned to committee, and for a bill to actually be heard on the House or the Senate floor, depending on whether it originates in the House or if it originates in the Senate, it has to be introduced into a committee. And then in the committee, it's heard, it can be heard, and then it has to get a vote by the committee members. If it gets a hearing and it gets a majority vote out of the committee, then it can come out onto the House and the Senate floor for hearing and ultimately a vote. But however, it is totally up to the committee chairman over that committee as to whether or not they hear the bill. And so the committee chairman for the life bill, formerly known as Protection at Conception, Curtin Isley and my bill, that bill was, I believe, 4 years in Representative Smaltz's, Representative Ben Smaltz, his committee on policy. It was then transferred over to the Judicial Committee, which is the committee chairman over that committee is Representative Jerry Tor.
Okay. And what do they? They just don't vote it out of committee then?
They don't even give it a hearing.
They don't even give it a hearing.
Right. So lots of bills just go to a committee. It's like the elephant graveyard. Mm. Lots of those bills are assigned to the committee and they just die. The committee chairman, and you know, if you ask Republican leadership, they're going to say, well, you have to talk to the committee chairman. But the thing is, though, is these committee chairmen, they work in lockstep together. The Republican caucus works together, right, and they are getting pressure from the Republican caucus as to what to hear and what not to hear. About approximately, and it's give or take every year, but nonetheless, about 80% of the bills that are actually filed die in committee.
Hmm. 80%. Wow.
Approximately.
Wow. So who is pressuring these committee members to bury and not hear that bill, the 1282?
Well, the Speaker of the House is ultimately the one who assigns committee chairmanships. So let me back up a second. When I was elected in 2020, so I want to give a little story because sometimes story gives context.
Yes.
And it's because, I mean, if you ask for specific dynamics, rules, regulations on how committee chairmanships are handed out, and just whether it's the explicit, that which is in writing versus the informal, you're not going to get that. So when I was elected in 2020, I was brought into a meeting with Republican leadership, with the Speaker of the House, the head of the caucus, and also the Majority Whip leader, the Republican Majority Whip leader. And essentially, the context of that conversation I gathered up really quickly what was going on. They were essentially telling me on how I needed to vote. In other words, I needed to vote along with them.
Right.
And so I quickly gathered what was going on in the conversation in the meeting, I said, no. I said, that's not how it goes. I made my constitutional oath to God to uphold the U.S. and the state constitution. And within the context of that and what the promises I made to my constituents, those are the people that I'm beholden to. And I'm beholden to God in relationship to the oath that I made, not to you guys. That conversation quickly was shut down. Now, again, the bottom line is that leadership positions are handed out based upon compliance. In other words, if you're a good little boy or girl and you do what we tell you to do, then you'll get leadership positions. And if you don't, then you won't.
Right.
And you'll get smacked down.
And get kicked out of the caucus.
Exactly. I was uninvited from the Republican caucus day one, before I was even right after the election, before I was even actually formally sworn in.
Hmm.
I think it was, and Representative Nisley was also uninvited at that point.
Yes. Wow. So the governor, in his address after the Roe v. Wade overturning, he said, the Supreme Court's decision is clear, and it is now up to the states to address this important issue. We'll do that in short order in Indiana. I've already called the General Assembly back on July 6th. Now that has changed to July 25th. And I expect members to take up this matter as well. I have been clear in stating I am pro-life. We have an opportunity to make progress in protecting the sanctity of life. That's exactly what we will do. So read into that. Is that truly a call to abolish abortion?
Well, let me address the date thing right now. So July 6th still is the official start date of the special session. We only have, under law, we only have 40 days to complete the special session. And that starts from, the clock already started ticking from July 6th. Now we'll go through August 15th. So although we don't formally come in until July 25th, we've still ticked off the clock for well over, 2 weeks?
Okay.
Abortion. That's very telling. So in Indiana, essentially, without going into a lot more detail, the threshold is set at 20 weeks. A woman can have an abortion up to 20 weeks. There's, again, some nuances to that. But when he says make progress, to me, that clearly means to make progress means to improve the regulation on abortion. So in other words, possibly move 20 weeks back to 15 weeks, like the Dobbs decision.
Okay.
Maybe a heartbeat bill. I don't know what that means. I mean, Governor Holcomb doesn't have the ability as the executive level to make the legislation, but you know that he has input with the leaders of the House and the Senate as to what kind of, you know that they're collaborating on what's going on. I mean, this is not operating in the, you know, that they're just operating totally separate and autonomous. So it really it concerns me that he says he's pro-life, but yet he says make progress on abortion. This is pretty simple. If you're pro-life, then you should be calling for an all-out ban on abortion.
On abortion, right.
So, and I tell people, it's like the Republican Party has campaigned for decades on the issue of abortion. They said they're pro-life. I don't think they ever anticipated that Roe was going to ever be overturned. So they were always using it as a political using the preborn as a political football, as a political piece in their campaign to say, I'm pro-life, knowing all the while they could kick the football back and say, well, but we have to wait till Roe versus Wade is overturned.
Mm-hmm.
We have to wait, because that's the constant response I got when I was lobbying for Curtin Isley's bill and pushing for that bill to be pushed forward. We have to wait for Roe to be overturned, John.
No.
We have to wait for Roe to be overturned. And so now here we are, Roe is overturned. Well, now they're forced back into a corner to back up their words of saying, I'm pro-life. Well, if you're really pro-life, it means they should be coming out with a bill to abolish abortion. But sadly, why they're sitting behind closed doors right now, waiting from July 6th to July 25th, is to try to figure out and probably get a collective consensus among the Republican caucus as to what kind of legislation they can agree on. Again, a regulatory bill.
So we need to start calling our representatives and senators. Do we just contact the representative of the district we live in and the senator in the district we live in the senator, or are there other people we should be contacting?
That's a great question, Greg. So the call to action specifically is this. Each individual needs to find out who their representative is and their senator. And you can say, you can just Google in, you know, who's my representative, my state representative, who's my state senator, not at the congressional level, this is at state level. And they need to call and email their representative and their senator, and they need to do it repetitively. And in addition to that, they also, no matter what district they live in, they also need to call and email the Speaker of the House, Representative Todd Houston, and also the head of the Senate, who is Roderick Bray. He's the pro tem, which essentially means he's the head of the Senate. And then in addition, to put the pressure on the governor as well, to call the governor and email the governor's office. So again, their representative, their senator, the Speaker of the House, Todd Houston, Senator Roderick Bray, who's head of the Senate, and also Governor Eric Holcomb. Call and email that.
And do it over and over again.
Over and over again. Be relentless and call for, and basically what they need to ask is to say, we do not want regulation on abortion. We want a complete, all-out ban on abortion for the language of HB 1282, Representative Nisely and Jacobs' bill, to be passed. And in addition, I know the games are going to play. They're going to say, well, HB 1282 is dead. They know the game. The bottom line is they can take the language from HB 1282 and make it into the bill that they're going to run in this special legislative session. So the listeners need to understand that. Don't let them play games with you. Tell them, say, you're playing games with me. You know you can take the language from HB 1282, Nisely Jacobs' life bill, and you can use that for the bill that you're going to run on abortion.
And they can see the language of that bill if they go to the state government website, right?
That's correct. You can go to Indiana General Assembly, and it's broken down by session, and just pull up it'll have a drop-down menu, and just pull up the 22 session, and then it'll say legislation, and then it'll show you all of the bills there that you'll for the House bills and the Senate bills, and then you can go to HB 1282, and you can read the language of the bill right there, you know, if you have questions.
Right. My legislator sent me a flyer in the mail and said he's supporting the coerce bill. Are you familiar with that coerce bill? I mean, it's just if anybody coerces a woman to get an abortion, they can be criminally prosecuted. But, you know, that's just a Band-Aid on a gushing wound.
I am very familiar with that bill. I actually spoke to that bill on the House floor, and I caught a lot of flack because I voted against the bill. And not because that I don't believe that a woman should not be forced into an abortion, because I explained that very well in a long speech on the floor. But I brought up with the author of that bill, Representative Joanna King. I asked her over and over, I said, you know, when does life begin? You know, I asked her, I said, is this bill about saving babies? And she kept on evading my questions. And so what I ultimately spoke on to the bill was this, is that any regulatory bill on abortion is wrong. We have a bill to abolish abortion. That's the target.
Right.
But yet all the Republican caucus has done is bring out bills. And Indiana Right to Life, by the way, because Indiana Right to Life worked in concert with the Republican caucus for decades on this to regulate abortion. So in other words, like this one, that as long as you fulfill this requirement, you can still murder your baby. So in other words, that bill was saying, essentially, as long as a woman is not coerced into an abortion, she can still have an abortion.
Hmm.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.